So a few weeks ago, I decided that I was going to spend my Lent doing a bit of spiritual reading. And I've just been away this week on a little retreat, so I've had a bit of a head start, which is always nice. And each week through Lent, I'm going to be reading a chapter from the book that I've recommended, which is called Silence and Honey Cakes by Rowan Williams. It's a book that's about the wisdom that comes from the very early monastic communities that formed in the deserts of Egypt and Syria. And that might make you wonder what they could possibly have to do with church life today. But as you read through this book, you realize that the challenges that those communities faced are very similar, actually, to the challenges that Christians face even now. They ask the same questions that I think churches today ask. Questions like, how do we find God in the midst of a world that seems so full of chaos and even evil? How do we discover, as a community, how to shape our lives according to the teachings of Christ? How do we cope with one another when it's so easy to lose our tempers and get annoyed and fail to see the image of God reflected in the faces of those around us? And these are questions that Christians have been asking themselves and each other for centuries. So I'm reading that book chapter by chapter each week, but I'm also reading another book, just a little bit each day, and it's this book. And I started this book last week while I was away on retreat. It's called Introduction to the Devout Life by someone called St. Francis de Sales. Now, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. If I'm not and you know better, come and tell me. But I think it's called St. Francis de Sales. He was a Catholic bishop in the 16th and 17th centuries. And he wrote this at the point of probably the highest point of the Protestant Reformation. And it seemed at that point that everybody was at each other's throats, trying to convince everyone else that they were the ones who were right, and only they had the answers to salvation. And as I'm reading through this book, I notice that this book doesn't make any claim to truth on behalf of one denomination or another. And like I said, St. Francis was a Catholic bishop, so we kind of know where he sits on the argument, really. But what's interesting is how his opponents talked about him, the people that he dealt with on the other side. They described him as a saintly man. So that tells you something. The point of this book is that he makes the case that anyone can live a devout life in the service of the Lord if they choose to do so. You don't have to go to a monastery. You don't have to become a monk or a nun. You don't have to become a priest or anything like that. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are born. It doesn't matter who your parents are, what you do for a living, or what your social status is. If you choose, you can decide that you are going to make the pursuit of God's loving purposes the aim of your life. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, he's talking about the summary of the law that we heard recited at the beginning of our service today. To love the Lord your God, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, having outlined that in his first chapter, and his chapters are only like a page and a half long, so you can just read it very quickly. Having outlined that, he says that once you've made the decision to do this, to pursue this life of loving God and of loving your neighbor as yourself, you will immediately notice that this is not an easy task. You will immediately be beset by problems, by obstacles, by setbacks. It really requires perseverance to love. So what this book then goes on to do is to set out a way to strengthen your resolve, to give help with prayer and meditation and advice for when things get tough. So that when the challenges arise, because they will, the devout person is ready to meet those challenges with love. And you'll read the same kind of thing in Rowan Williams's book, Silence and Honeycakes. The themes are the same. This is what the Christian life is. Rowan Williams talks about this elsewhere, actually. He talks about St. Teresa of Avila, who was a nun in Spain. And he talks about something she used to do. She lived in a convent with other nuns, and she used to deliberately spend time every day with one of the other sisters that she couldn't stand. And she did it every day so that she could learn about her sister in God, to learn who she was, what made her special, to see God reflected in her. It requires perseverance to really love. But why is this the Christian life? Who says so? Well, Jesus says so. This is what the parable that we just heard is all about. We hear a story of 10 bridesmaids. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Now, at the beginning of the story, there is nothing to distinguish between the two groups. They are identical. Both groups have lamps that shine. Both are ready for the wedding feast. So presumably both groups are dressed in their wedding gowns. Everything is prepared. The only difference is that when the bridegroom is delayed, it is the wise who have set aside oil just in case, and the foolish who have not. That is the only difference. The wise are prepared, the foolish are not. And all of this actually stems back to the very focal point of Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount. Those who are prepared, in Matthew's thinking, are the ones who do what Jesus taught is blessed. Do you remember those? The things that Jesus taught? Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But here's the thing, and this is what Jesus is teaching in this parable. We have to do these things all the time. We have to make them our life choice. It's easy to be a peacemaker for a day. It takes real effort and perseverance to seek peace throughout our lives. To be merciful can feel good on occasions, to say, today, in that argument, I was merciful. But to make it a habit that we live by when the bridegroom is delayed, that requires something deeper. And what St. Francis de Sales is saying is we prepare ourselves for that lifetime of living as peacemakers, as living as people who are merciful and meek, who hunger and thirst for righteousness each day. We do that by living devout lives. And this is what he says. We do it by prayer. We do it by attending to scripture and by meditating on its meaning, by allowing it to transform ourselves, by encountering Christ in the sacraments, and by walking alongside our fellow Christians. And this is preparation that we must do. It's not an optional extra for church. Because if we don't, listen to the words that Christ finishes with. When the bridegroom comes, at the end of all things, when all is all in Christ, Judgment Day. These are his words. Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Are there any words more terrifying than that? I do not know you. Think back to those 10 bridesmaids. They were all the same. There was nothing to tell them apart, except that one group were prepared and the other group were not. Jesus says, stay awake. To his disciples, he says, stay awake. I think he would say to the church today, wake up. Wake up. Are you sleeping? Are you not being merciful? Are you not attending to your prayers? Are you not reading scripture? Are you not thinking and seeing where God is moving? Do you not see the image of God in your neighbor? Wake up. Be prepared. Have oil for your lamps. And when you are prepared, then you are welcomed into the wedding feast. Hear these words. Don't leave it too late. Act now while you can. Amen.